Please help me welcome J. Lauren Norris.
If I were to ask you, who are the top five influencers in your life? What kind of answer would you have for that? Would you tell me about the people who are famous today? Would you tell me about the ones whose names are on the top of every social media post? Or would you tell me about the ones who are in the news today and political office of any ilk or any nation? Or would you tell me about the people that you hung out with when you were a kid? The ones who spoke into your life when you were a teenager? Well, that's a pretty tough question, but it's a very valid one, especially if you consider yourself a leader and an influencer. And that's what I want to talk about in this episode of Leading Leaders. I'm J. Lauren Norris with Leading Leaders Podcast. Influence. Leadership is influence, nothing more and nothing less. So says John Maxwell. I believe he's right. Because without influence, you cannot lead. You might be a tyrant, you might be a dictator, you might be a manager to some degree, but without influence, you cannot lead. Now, here's the scary part. There are a lot of people who have influence who have no desire to lead. They want to have influence for other reasons. They don't have the character, the integrity, the authenticity, the authority to be a leader, but they've somehow become influencers. In fact, I pulled up this list from the all-knowing Google world of information. Top most popular influencers. Guess who's at the very top? Nope, not a king, not a prince, not a president. Cristiano Ronaldo, number one influencer. Selena Gomez, number two. Ariana Grande, Sierra Ferengi, sorry if I don't know your name. Taylor Swift, Kylie Jenner, Addison Rae, Huda Kattan, Justin Bieber, Beyonce, Dwayne Johnson, Cabby Lame. Okay? Maybe it's LeMay. Cabby LeMay. No, I think it's Lame. Leo Messi, PewDiePie, Zach King, Amy Song, Alexa Chung, Camelia Kalo, James Charles, Kayla, can't pronounce her last name, Kendall Jenner, Logan Paul, and Lauren Gray. No, I am not Lauren Gray. I am J. Lauren Norris. We are different. It is amazing to me how many of those people in the world of influence, maybe five of them, I actually recognize their name. Dwayne Johnson, Logan Paul, I recognize those names. PewDiePie. And I believe I know who Lame or LeMay is because I've seen some of his videos, but they're fascinating, but not life-changing. They're not going to bring about transformation in somebody's life. When I think back on my life to the maybe top five influencers in my life, I think of names like Maxwell and Morris and Ross, and I realize some of those are world-famous names. John Maxwell is known all over the globe. Books he's written, hundreds of books he's written are translated into 35, 50 languages in different places. He's done roundtables and leadership training for ministries and politicians, for governments and large corporations all over the world. But Morris, there might be 100,000 people in the world who know who that is. And Ross, maybe a dozen, maybe two dozen. But see, there are people in my life who've spoken into my life, who've changed the direction of my life, who've brought about genuine transformation in my life that you would never know. Or you see the fruit of it. You see the result of it. The fact that I'm standing here today, A, still alive, and B, willing to share what's going on in my world so that it can impact what's going on in yours. That's the result of the people who've spoken into my life, the influencers who have changed the way that I think, who've caused me to stop doing stuff that I used to do and start doing stuff that I ought to do. Of course, there's people like Jordan Peterson of late in the last maybe 3 years, Dr. Caroline Leaf, Dr. Bruce Limpton. These are people that I constantly study because I desire their influence in my life. They don't know me. They couldn't care less who I am. but because of the body of work that they have put into the world, I pay attention to what they have to say. Now, if you were to think of some of the influencers off that list that I just read and ask yourself, how many of them do you have a relationship with? How many of them do your children have a relationship with? Your nieces, your nephews, your grandkids, your next door neighbors? Well, the chances are, unless you live in Hollywood, are pretty slim that you have a relationship with them, but they may still be influencing thought. You know, you can buy influence. Did you know that? It's been a peddling influence has been a political corruption scheme as far back as there have been humans. In fact, probably the earliest days of Caesar, to be able to buy your way in and out of jail. I'm pretty sure that's where the whole concept of bond and bail came up. If we just arrest enough of them, we can generate the money we can't generate in taxes. Strange little way of manipulating the populace to get money out of them, right? It's not untrue today, but sometimes you can pay that extra $200 and get out of jail free card, a do not pass go, do not go to jail. Well, it doesn't apply to everybody. It's, you know, justice is the best justice you can afford. That's a sad but true reality. That's another way of looking at influence. There are those who peddle influence for political gain. I'll vote your way. I'll make this possible. I'll influence the outcome of a local election, a bond election, a school board election, a city council election. I'll influence the vote if there's enough in it for me. There are cities all over the world where it takes just a little bit of money. I was watching, in fact, Tiny House Nation last night. And on Tiny House Nation, they were building a house in an area that had been devastated by Katrina. Now, this show was shot in 2015, so it's almost 10 years old. So there may be no parties involved in that show who are still in the positions they're in now. But in that city, in that town, there was a building restriction of how small a house could be. It couldn't be less than X amount of square footage. And the lady who wanted to build a tiny house, she already owned the property. She had a house there that got wiped out by Katrina, and now she wanted to build something else, but she wanted it to be smaller. And the building code people didn't want it to happen. Three different times during the process, they were challenged by building codes. They had to file for amendments. They had to ask for advances. They had to ask for all kinds of help from the city code people to be able to get done the project they wanted to get done, just to build the house the woman wanted to build. At one point in the show, they had to stop what they were doing, and a new building inspector walked up and started inspecting the building in the middle of their build. Another guy had to go to the city and file for paperwork to be able to make sure that they could get the advances needed and continue their building process. They were completely stopped. Well, after these two men were appeased and everyone had their I's dotted and their T's crossed and the paperwork was proper and they were going to allow the exception to build this smaller house, even though it's not the code, it's not the policy, but if you pay the right fees and fines, you can do what we said you can't do as long as you pay. That's influence. Well, in the middle of their build, a gentleman walks up with a tie on. And the guy in charge of building the house says, oh boy, here we go again. Another code enforcer, another supervisor, another somebody who's got the authority to make us stop all this influence they have. And the guy walks up, he watches them build, and he said, I'm really impressed. I'm the mayor of this town. And some of what's been devastated here hasn't been rebuilt in 10 years. We have entire neighborhoods that haven't been rebuilt. The people still own the land, but they can't afford to rebuild because of the cost of building. If they could all build a tiny house like this, I think our community would be back and thriving again. To which the builder replied, you know, we've had some issues with policy, and, you know, we're moving forward with everything approved, but, you know, we would agree that if you could build more tiny houses, you could bring your neighborhood back faster. Well, you think the mayor might have some insight and some input into the right people making the right decision about codes and compliances, about building permits and what's allowed and what's not, and at least enough to bring it to the people and say, perhaps we should reconsider. Because we could fill the neighborhood with tiny houses and people could move back in and enjoy our community again, and our commercial business would be thriving, and our opportunity to serve the outsiders who want to come to It would all be returning if we could just look at the policies. That's what influence is for. It's not for just building a big empire. It's for doing good for others. Now, I can also tell you, I know people who have best-selling books. In fact, I know people who have best-selling books that are not well-written. I know people who have best-selling books. It says so right on the outside of the label, best-selling book, in a particular category, in a particular way of measurement. But it's not a best-selling book because bazillions of people loved the book. It's a best-selling book because they paid the right people to publish it and put it through the process. When I say you can buy influence, there's a whole lot of ways to buy influence. And one of the ways you can buy influence is to become a best-selling author. In fact, it's a whole cottage industry out there right now. There are people, if you just search it, if you think I'm kidding, search the idea of becoming a celebrity. Become a celebrity speaker in a given category. Talk about a certain topic and you'll be the number one person. Narrow the niche of who you talk to and what you talk about, and your speaking career can be celebrity speaking. You can become a celebrity, get on enough PR, get on enough television stations, get on enough newspapers, get on enough headlines, get enough magazine articles, use the right AI, and all of a sudden you can become insta-famous. You can buy influence. You can buy your way into the top. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, part of the argument with Logan Paul and his brother, what was his brother? Can't remember his brother's name right this moment, but when Logan Paul and his brother first started their empire rise outside of their work in Disney, there was an accusation by one of the top influencers at the time, and this has been about 5 years ago, maybe six, that Logan Paul's entire video sequence had to do with a rented house, a rented mansion, a rented Lamborghini, and a bunch of hired actresses. And it was meant to be a music video made at a party at his house where everybody thought, wow, look at all the people that are coming to his house. He must be special. He must be important. He must be rich. But when it came to light that the house was rented, the video was paid video. It wasn't as first person as it looked. It looked like it was filmed by somebody walking around with their cell phone going, look how cool this party is. But that wasn't exactly it. And when that came to light, there were a lot of people who went, see, he's not all that important. But by that time, the video had millions of views and millions of downloads of the song, and the money was already in the bank. And at that point, who really cares, right? What difference does it make at this point? Well, there's a whole lot of that going on in influence. If I can buy my way to best-selling status, if I can get my website ranked number one on Google, if I can get my PR firm to put me on the right kind of television shows, then everybody will think I'm super important and super special and super powerful, and I will become an influencer. Okay, so you got the influencer label. I kind of think back to that song. It's Shania Twain that says, okay, so you're a rocket scientist. So what? That doesn't impress me much. The real irony of that song was when she said, you think you're good looking. So, okay, so you're Brad Pitt. That doesn't impress me much. But how many people have gone through that same process of impressing someone? You work hard, you spend the money, you invest the time, you get just the right look, just the right haircut, just the right PR firm, you become famous in whatever way necessary, and then you realize, now that I have it, what am I going to do with it? I mean, I bought my way to the top, I got myself into political office, I won the election, what am I going to do with it? Now comes the real challenge of character, of integrity, of authority. I mean, anybody can buy a best-selling book, even if it's poorly written, even if the design is ugly. If you've got enough friends, or you can hire the right publishing company to get their friends to buy your book at the right time, at the right window of time, then you can get the label bestseller. Does that mean everybody loves your book and it's life-changing to them? No, not necessarily. Does it mean your ideas are good, solid, valuable, and valid? No, not necessarily. Does it mean that what you've done in this world would be a lifelong legacy that will outlive you and your posterity? No, not necessarily. It does mean that you've learned how to use your money to buy influence, to get the name, to get the label, to get to the top. But now that you have that influence, what will you do with it? If your ideas were useless when you wrote them down in the book, they were useless when you took them to the stage, if they were hollow when you had that television interview, now that everybody knows your name, are they less hollow? Are they just hollow louder? See, there are a whole lot of people who have a whole lot of influence, who people are listening to them, and what they're saying is nonsense. What they're saying is dangerous, it's destructive, it's divisive. But because they have influence, they're impacting people's lives. Are they transforming them for the good? Are they doing wise things with them? No. But, you know, if you have the right name in the right place, you can make artwork and sell it for $500,000 when nobody in the world would look at that and go, it's beautiful. Nobody with their right mind looks at certain pieces of art and goes, oh my gosh, it's stunning. But if you have the $500,000 to buy a piece of art that you and I both know looks like a cat threw up on it, but because you buy that piece of art from the right person, you've kind of bought your way into a circle of influence. You're wielding your money to buy influence in a place where the person you're buying from actually has more connection to influence than you could ever get without buying the art. You didn't buy the art because you like the art. You bought the art because it gives you power. Again, we're back in the same place. You may now have connection and relationship and influence, but what are you going to do with it? See, here's what I find to be almost polar opposite of that same truth. That is, there are a lot of people who have written some good books who brought about transformation in the lives of people around them by the dozens, by the hundreds, maybe by the small thousands. And they will pass off in the end of this life into obscurity and no one will ever know their name. Their books may be found in a Goodwill bin somewhere or on a half-price bookshelf and nobody really cares. Trust me, I go to half-price books on a regular basis looking for particular things that I can buy for my collection or buy to give away. And there are times that I will see a shelf stocked with 40 copies of the same book on clearance. It made it to half-price books, and it made it to clearance. That means it didn't sell well in the bookstore to begin with. And when it made it to half-price books, it couldn't sell in the category that it was supposed to be, even at a significantly discounted price. And now it's in the clearance section, and they're all bundled together because there's a whole bunch of them of the same book by the same author and the same title. And it's still not selling, even though it says bestseller on the outside. And right next to it is a book that changed my life. One that completely redirected my thinking. And I realized, probably I'm not going to buy that whole stack of books, but I am going to buy the one that changed my life, even though I have 3 copies of it. I'm going to buy that one because it's discounted and because I know if I put that in the hands of somebody else, that book will change somebody else's life. And some of those books, even those books, are obscure. Even those books, people are like, I don't know this person. I don't know who that is. I remember when I sent the first email to the Glenn Beck group and I said, you need to know who David Barton is. And they were like, why do we care? I'm like, just trust me. You need to know who David Barton was. This was in 2001, right after the 9/11 incident, when Glenn Beck was very, very commonly saying, you know, America got what it deserved. And I said, no, you don't understand what America is. He'd been on the radio for 20 years at that point. I said, you need to know who David Barton is. And now they have quite the friendship and quite the business alliance. And Glenn Beck's way of thinking has been completely reshaped because he met David Barton. Now, I would like to take credit for that. I don't know if I can or not. Maybe his research team also pointed him out. Maybe his research team said, you got to look this way. But David was a previous client of mine, and I intentionally sent that email. I probably still have it somewhere. Nobody knew who David Barton was at the time. It was a very small circle of people who knew who he was. Now he's pretty much world famous. If you talk about America's heritage and you miss the name David Barton, you missed a lot. You missed a lot. Influencer? More so now than he was 10 years ago, 20 years ago, or almost 25 years ago when I met him in 1999. Huge, huge impact in this world. influencer in this world. He will change the shape of our country and our culture if people will listen to what he has to say. He didn't set out to be world famous. John Maxwell didn't set out to be world famous. He set out to bring about change and transformation in the lives of people immediately around him. That was it. He had a goal. He had a goal to make a difference in people's lives, and it turned out that by influencing people, that influence spread. In John's own philosophy, John Maxwell says, if I lead 10 million followers, when I die, they scatter. But if I lead 1,000 leaders, and those leaders lead 1,000 leaders, and those leaders lead 1,000 leaders, then exponentially we'll reach way more than 10 million followers, and each of their lives will have been changed, and I win. If really what you want in this life is influence, ask yourself, what are you going to do with it when you get it? Why do you want it? How will you wield it? If influence is a double-edged sword, how will it cut you and how will it cut through the garbage of life to bring transformation into other people's lives? Are you going to buy the influence that you have to get the best-selling label, to get the PR, to get on the television, to get on the podcast, to get notoriety? Are you seeking notoriety because you need the notoriety, or are you seeking to transform lives and influence is coming as the byproduct of the work that you do? In my opinion, if you'll spend your life investing yourself in making other people's lives better, influence will be the byproduct and you'll be a better person for it. If you spend your life and your fortune buying your way to the top, buying the influence, wielding the influence, peddling the influence, you might get the influence, you might get the label, you might get the notoriety, but the type of impact you're going to make in the world may not be the legacy you want to leave. I'll leave that totally up to you, because some people live for the fortune and the fame. They want the money in the bank and the zeros at the back. All they want is to be known. I remember a pop star saying not too long ago, I never asked to be your role model. I just wanted to be famous. What kind of influence do you have? What kind of influence do you want? What are you going to do with it when you get it? Well, you can build it, but then you got to wield it. Do it well. I'm J. Lauren Norris with Leading Leaders Podcast, or Tell It Like It Is TV. Have a blessed day.
Lauren is a master teacher on storytelling, and I learned so much. I'm really going to have to sit down and go back through everything, and I think I might have to have some more coffees with Lauren, but it was totally worth my time, and I really highly recommend it if you're looking to grow your ministry, grow your business, grow your career. Lauren will serve you well.
Thank you.
Subscribe now for our extensive video library of leadership lessons promoting faith, family, and freedom.